This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. And if you have not seen his program on HBO or the program that preceded it in Britain, Sacha Baron Cohen, also known as Ali G, takes some explaining. So we've invited him to explain himself and his program, which is called The Ali G Show. Welcome to our program, Sacha
Baron. Thank you for having me on.
And you have to begin by explaining who your character Ali G is.
So Ali G is a wannabe gangster who lives in a very provincial part of England in a place called Staines, which he believes is the ghetto, but in fact is a few miles away from Windsor Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And there are swans that swim down the river. But he still believes that he's really living in the hood and considers his life, you know, similar to Tupac's, even though it's totally different.
Now, somehow, Ali G, for the Ali G Show, gets interviews with people we've actually heard of, and we've seen in on the American show. They've often been prominent in American life.
That's right.
I'll play an excerpt of an interview that you did with the former Los Angeles police chief, Daryl Gates.
Is it true in L.A. there's loads of celebrities?
Oh, yes, celebrities. Yes, lots of celebrities.
Was there any famous people that your police had to arrest?
I'm sure you saw the O.J. Simpson.
I seen him on the television.
Yeah, and he was the one that was accused of killing his wife.
But ain't it wrong for the police to start getting involved in murders on a cartoon? Surely what the Simpsons do...
Oh, no.
It's just like, it's make-believe, you know.
Oh, you're talking about different Simpsons. I'm talking about a man, a real man, who was...
He killed Marge.
Yeah, no, a real man. He's called O.J. Simpson.
Yo.
Yo. Was there at least a flicker in the eye of Daryl Gates that perhaps this was a joke at this moment?
No.
No.
There really wasn't. And that really is my objective. When I get in the room, it's to convince these guys that they are now going to be interviewed by somebody who's totally ignorant and totally arrogant and is totally ill-equipped to interview someone of their stature.
And you find a lot of people who are actually quite patient when confronted with that problem.
That's right. And I think that is because they do believe that they are with this guy who's, you know, one of the generation that they believe are totally ignorant. And, you know, I use a lot of techniques to get them to believe that. So, for example, with Buchanan...
This is Pat Buchanan.
That's right. He's actually on this week's show. You know, I'll ask before the interview starts, I'll say, how does that spell your name? Because I don't want to get it wrong, you know? And he'll say, well, B-U-C-H-A. I go, no. How does he spell Pat? And he'll go, well, P-A-T, you know, P-A-T. All right, slower. P, and then I would like to show him the P, yeah. A-T, you know, okay, A, like that. Okay, T. All right, Buchanan, I'm going to spell that with B-O-O-C, all right, because I don't want to say the wrong thing when it comes up.
And Pat Buchanan is, at this point, completely in there with you. He's not picking up on the joke at all.
No.
No.
And in fact, he does a very good rap at the end of the piece. My name be Buchanan. It's worth checking out. It's right at the end of the programs. We do a little, we sometimes show some of the raps that these establishment figures have done to try and get their message across to the youth.
Now, far from being the would-be gangster rapper from Staines, you're Sacha Baron Cohen, educated at Cambridge University?
That's right.
What did you study there?
History, actually.
Right. And involved in theater or being a comedian all the time? Or is this a hobby?
Yeah, I mean, in university, you know, I was doing a lot of plays there, you know, Cyrano de Bergerac and Fiddler on the Roof and a lot of comedy and had some involvement with the Cambridge Footlights. And it's a great place, actually, if you're interested in acting or being a comedian. Very little work gets done there.
At Cambridge?
Yeah, very little. It's amazing. In fact, it was a great way to learn how to get by without doing any work and still get your grades.
But you read history and
That's right. In fact, I studied over here. I did my thesis on the civil rights movement, about Jewish involvement in the civil rights movement in the 60s.
So you did a lot of Schwerner and Goodman and
that's right. It was
Stanley
all about
Robinson and
exactly. It was all about the Schwerner, Cheney, Goodman deaths and how those were perceived and whether there was really a kind of Jewish-Black alliance.
Obviously, Sacha Baron Cohen, you're Jewish.
That's right.
And
am I?
And one of your characters, who is not Ali G, but Borat.
That's right.
From Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Seems to have at least, I've seen at least one anti-Semitic moment out of Borat when he's at a dating service.
That's right. Borat doesn't like Jews. In fact, we've got one episode this time where Borat becomes a country and western singer. And he appears at a redneck bar in, I think it's in Arizona. And Borat sings this song, which the chorus goes, "Throw the Jew down the well, so my country can be free." And all the audience start singing, "So my country can be free. You must grab him by his horns." And everyone's going, "You must grab him by his horns. Then we have a big party."
Borat is not only plumbing the depths of American anti-Semitism, but also this is a Borat clip when he is for, I guess the idea is he's here doing television programs for Kazakhstan television.
That's right. Very good pronunciation.
And he goes to a private wine tasting club in Mississippi where a couple of older white gentlemen are served by the one black man we see who's a wine steward. And now we hear him asking his host about that man.
"He is your slave?"
No, not a slave.
"He is his slave?"
No, he's not a slave at all. We don't have slaves here anymore.
Yes, I hear you do not have a
No.
Oh, why, you slip?
No, well, it's a law that was passed that they no longer can be used as slaves, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
it is a good thing for them. Yeah. But
but not so much for you.
You're right, right.
So I think he makes quite a revealing comment at the end where he basically implies that he's a little bit upset that there's no longer slavery in Mississippi. And I think that's quite an interesting thing with Borat, which is people really let down their guard with him because they're in a room with somebody who seems to have these outrageous opinions. They sometimes feel, you know, much more relaxed about letting their own outrageous, politically incorrect, prejudiced opinions come out.
Do you get the impression that part of this is just the phenomenal interest of many people to be on television, even if it means sitting down with somebody asking imbecilic questions?
I totally agree. I think the power of television is amazing. When they're in the room with me, somehow because there's a camera there, their guard is down and they'll answer basically almost anything just to make sure that they end up looking good on camera.
Sacha Baron Cohen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me on.
And Ali G, thank you very much for joining us from the HBO program The Ali G Show.
Enough respect. You was listening to All Things Considered, innit, on National Public Radio. West Side.